Good morning and welcome to Garden Christian Fellowship. We had already our first technical glitch, but hopefully now things will go better. I'd like to start with just a few announcements. Oh wait, there are none. Everything's been canceled, but I would like to encourage you to continue on with your Bible reading. And perhaps you received an email this week that had links to the Bible Project videos that we've been watching as introductions to the books. If you didn't get the email, you can contact me and I'll resend it to you. Otherwise, just go to BibleProject.com and you can look up videos and get a little background on the Book of Psalms or the Book of Acts, or we'll soon beginning the Book of First Chronicles, and you might want to check those things out. Other than that, I guess I don't have any further announcements. I would like to begin by praying, and then we'll just share a little bit from God's Word, from again from the Book of Psalms. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you and ask that you would help us, Lord, through this uncertain time when there seems to be so much that is in question. And whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, I pray, Lord, for just your protection over your people, especially, Lord, those that we know and love here as part of the church and garden. I pray, Lord, for your healing touch upon those who are not feeling well even now, those, Lord, who are recovering from surgery. We continue, Lord, to lift up Tyler to you and the whole family, that you will draw near to them, that you'd bring healing to Tyler's body and just restore him. Lord, for others that are just alone right now and maybe even more alone during this time of social distancing, Lord, I pray for your comfort for them. I pray for those, Lord, who have lost loved ones here in just this last week or so, that you would comfort them, that you would draw near to them, Lord, and just be their portion. And Lord, as we just take a little time now to share from your word, I pray that you would encourage us, that you'd help us to continue to place our trust in you and to look to you, Lord, for strength and as the remedy, Lord, for uncertainty or for worry. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been going through the Book of Psalms, and we're going to continue doing that this morning. Kind of the buzzword that I heard earlier this week several times, and not just the word, but the feeling, was one of anxiety. And so I looked up a psalm that dealt with anxiety, and I came to Psalm 88, which isn't necessarily a psalm about anxiety, but it is anxiety. So one thing I have to do, though, is get my notes. When we were trying to get this set up to go with Facebook Live, we had a little glitch with Lita's phone, and all of a sudden it was dialing a 911 call. So if we get interrupted in the middle of this by police or ambulance showing up. but in the midst of all that, I left my notes over on the table. So now I have my notes and we're ready to go. Psalm 88 was written by a man named Heman. And Heman was one of the sons of Korah. And they wrote several of the Psalms. Heman went off on his own and kind of wrote this Psalm. I suppose it was kind of like when the Beatles broke up and they all went out and started doing their own work. Heman decided to do this one on his own. I'm not sure if he decided necessarily, though, to go off on his own, or if maybe he was kicked out of the band. As we read this psalm, we'll see that he is in a great deal of distress, and that he is bemoaning the fact that his friends have left him, that he's all alone, that he's suffering in pain, that he thinks maybe he's even facing death. He is so desperate that he bemoans the fact that he doesn't even have any enemies that pay attention to him. So he's really feeling in a tough spot right here. And I know that a lot of people right now are dealing with that uncertainty, not sure what's going to happen in the future, not sure if you're going to have what you need. But I'm sure that we're going to get through this, and hopefully that this time when we're set apart will help us to evaluate the things that are really important to us, and that we'll come out stronger on the other side. Perhaps it will refine us like gold. So just a little bit about the psalm. This Psalm 88 has been described as the darkest and saddest psalm in the whole collection of psalms. And I have to warn you that as we read it, it's pretty bleak. And the first point that I'd like to make from this reading this psalm is also pretty bleak. But hopefully by the end, there'll be some reason for hope. And the fact that we can continually trust on it in our Lord, even in the midst of troubles. We are not told about the circumstances that this writer is necessarily going through, what is causing him to feel so poorly. And I think that that is maybe part of God's plan. So that as each one of us reads this psalm, we can insert our own set of circumstances into what has been written and apply it to our own lives when there are those times when we might be tempted to ask God, where are you and what are you doing? Have you forgotten me? This is a desperate cry of suffering, and the whole psalm, there is not one ray of hope. In fact, the psalm ends with the psalmist saying that darkness is my only friend. So it's really, it's a pretty bleak picture that this man has painted. It's also noted that the author, Heman, has suffered for a long time. It says that since his youth, since before he could remember, darkness has been his only friend, and that he has felt like he has been rejected by God and alone. Let's begin by making our first point, which is not a very happy one. In fact, it's really kind of a really Debbie Downer type of thought, and that is that sometimes troubles and sometimes darkness can last a long time. And that is true even for the Christian. This man, Heman, was facing pain and death, and even more than that, he was depressed. He was in a spot where he really felt that he was alone. And sometimes the pain of being rejected is much greater than even physical pain. And again, this had been going on for a long time, He was even felt rejected by enemies. So this was a guy who was really alone. And I think, though, that this psalm paints a very realistic picture sometimes of what life can be. That life is at times painful, sometimes it is hard to understand, and a lot of times the only question that we really have is why, and why is this happening? In the movie Princess Bride, there's a famous line there where Princess Buttercup is bemoaning the fact that she is on the run, that she's being forced to marry someone that she does not love, and the person that she really loves, Wesley, who is now disguised as the dread pirate Robert, says to her, "Princess, pain is part of life, and anyone who tells you anything different is just trying to sell you something." And that's somewhat true. I think that it is true that at times pain is life, and that if you try to deny that, you're being foolish. People try to paint pictures that are at times overly flowery. They are unrealistic. Promises that we hear from politicians. In fact, in another movie, Napoleon Dynamite, when Pedro is running for high school president, he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to gather votes. So he says, "Well, if you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true." And we hear that over and over, I think, from politicians even today. Maybe voiced a little bit differently, but really not so much different. And I think that some of this attitude has even crept into the church. And that we get this feeling that if we trust in Jesus, that if we accept him as our Savior, all of a sudden all of our problems will disappear and life will just be all peachy keen. But we know from experience, we know from history, from many of the heroes of the Bible and heroes of the faith through the ages, that this is certainly not the fact. That some of the greatest Christians that have ever lived, those who have really paved the way, who have given us an example of trusting Jesus and in whose path and an example that we can walk today, they suffered greatly. And so I think that we really need to come to the point where we accept that sometimes in life there are going to be uncertainties and things that we question. Even though we walk in a world that is shrouded by darkness, a world that is filled with uncertainty, in knowing Jesus and in knowing God, we have been given a light. And that light can help us through the darkness. And that light, Jesus himself has promised that whatever the circumstance is, even though we might not feel him right next to us, he has promised that he is there, that he is with us, and that he will walk with us through whatever dark place we are in. If we consider Jesus, we see that he was a man who had no place to lay his head. He was rejected. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was abandoned by his friends. He suffered mental and physical pain, and he was crucified. And we should expect, as his followers, that we might be asked to do some of those same things. We should not feel that we should ever be exempt from trouble. Our great blessing is that Jesus walks with us in the midst of every one of these troubles. He's with us now, and he will be with us forever. A couple of verses here I'd like to read just for you to consider. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." By being acquainted with Jesus, and especially by being acquainted with the Word, we have light that can help us in times of trouble, in times of uncertainty. In John chapter 14, verse 27, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The world right now is seeking for peace by hoarding things, by trying to cover their bases, by blaming other people for what's happening. But the only true peace that we can really find in the midst of any trouble is by trusting and clinging to Jesus. And then also in John 16, verse 33, here Jesus is talking about the fact that he is going to be leaving them and that they are going to face times of uncertainty and times of trouble. And he tells them, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So we can expect trouble, but in that trouble, we can also expect that Jesus hears our prayers, that he walks beside us, and that he will lead us through the situation. The second thing that I'd like to learn from this psalm is that God is a God of grace. And before we do that, though, let's read this psalm so that we can get a taste, really, of what is going on here. So Psalm 88, I invite you to read along with me if you have your Bible there. I'm reading from the NIV. "Lord, you are a God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave. Whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and have been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath swept over me, your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend, or darkness is my only friend." In some ways, we have to wonder why a verse like this, why a psalm like this is even in the Bible. This is, in many ways, kind of a bold affront to God from Haman. As he prays, he is really, in a sense, getting in God's face and saying, why is all this happening? Why have I been rejected? Why do I pray to you and you don't answer me? Do you think that by killing me, you're going to receive praise? Do the dead praise you? And in a sense, he's in God's face. He's pretty angry with God. And some of us would say that you can't talk to God like that. It's not respectful that we should talk like that to God. Some might even call this blasphemous. So we have to ask the question, why did God allow this very poor customer review to end up in the Bible? When I worked at the at a camp in California, there was one problem that every camp and every hotel or motel had in California that they tried to keep under wraps. And they certainly didn't want that bad review to be showing up on their Yelp page or their TripAdvisor or their own web page. And that was the fact that all these camps and hotels, I don't care which one it was that you went to, they all dealt with bed bugs. And the last thing that you wanted to have show up on your review was that you were a place that was that had bed bugs. Now, at the camp that I was that I worked at, on occasion we had bed bugs, and we spent a lot of time dealing with bed bugs. Every week we would inspect all 350 beds, taking them apart and with high beam flashlights looking in every nook and cranny for signs of bed bugs, for eggs, for bed bug poop, and for bed bugs themselves, because you didn't want it to be known that your camp had bed bugs, because people wouldn't come. And of course, whether they were coming for a retreat or whatever, you still had to run it like a business. The people had to pay, and if they didn't want to come and they didn't pay for the retreat or the camp would cease to be in operation. And it was the same thing with hotels or motels. You wanted to have good customer reviews. So here now, Heman is giving God a pretty bad review. And you have to wonder why God allowed this into the Bible. Why didn't he just have the instances where God instantly answered prayers and made things all better? But here, Heman, he was suffering for a long time, and it seemed like God was not going to answer his prayers. So we have to ask, why is it there? Well, the Bible is tremendously honest, and God is tremendously honest, and God understands us, and he understands that in order for us to really correctly approach him, we need to be honest. And there are some times when we might feel like God is letting us down. We might feel angry at God. We might feel that God has distanced himself from us. And he wants us still, even at those times, to come before him and to be honest. We shouldn't pretend that everything is all right when everything is not all right. There should be no pretending. God understands our hearts, and he expects us to be honest before him. We should not sugarcoat things. God does not sugarcoat things. There is no wild sales pitch that's going on here. God tells us the truth, and he expects us to respond in kind. God understands that there are times in our lives when we face desperation. One thing that we see over and over as we read through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is that God was God even when his people rejected him. There were many times in the Old Testament when the people did not understand what God was doing and they turned their backs on him. But yet God always remained faithful. God was always their God, always doing what was necessary to woo them back, to bring them to a point where they would repent of their own selfishness, their own desire to go their own ways, and to bring them back to himself. God remained their God, and God remains our God, because God is a God of grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us his love and understanding, even when we at times turn our back on him. Now, that doesn't mean that he just wants that he'll just leave us in a place like that, where he says, well, it's okay if you're mad or upset with me, or if it's okay if you're involved in this or that thing that you should not be involved in. But God will work with us to draw us to himself, to mold us, to shape us. And perhaps that is exactly what he was doing here with Heman. As Heman was physically suffering, maybe God was doing some kind of work in his heart, where Heman would have to reject his own ways, reject his own selfishness, and really come to the point where he decided that God is God and I am not. So the third point here is that not only is God a God of grace, that he accepts us no matter what the state of our heart is, but that God can also take darkness and use it in our lives to generate greatness. When Psalm 88 was written, Heman was not expressing a great deal of worship and reverence before God. There's a similar story that we read about in the book of Job. Job was a man who was following God. He was greatly blessed by God. But then there was a time when Satan came and accused Job before God. And really told God that the only reason that Job is following you is because you're blessing him, because you're good to him. He's not following you because he loves you. He's following you because of what you do for him. He just wants the blessings. He could care less about you, God. So God gave Satan permission to afflict Job. And Job's family was taken from him, his health was taken from him, his lands, his animals, his livelihood, just about everything that you could think that was precious to Job was taken away from him. And yet Job clung to God, but he wasn't without complaint. There were many times when he questioned whether it was worthwhile to follow God or not, and there were times when his wife and his friends, they were his friends, although at times they gave him some pretty bad advice. There were times when Job really questioned what was God up to, and just like Heman, there were times when he kind of got pretty upset with God. But after a time of suffering, and after a time of Job accusing God, God replied to Job and really kind of straightened him out. God, in a sense, said to Job, "Job, you might not understand all that is going on about what I am doing, but I am still in control. I am still God, and you are not." Through the darkness, God brought Job to a place where Job understood what God was doing and that God, in fact, was God. After Job repented, after Job acknowledged that that God again was the one that needed to be worshipped and was beyond questioning, God did restore Job and gave him back all of the things that he had lost. And this was Job's reply then to God. This is in Job 42, verses 1 to 3. Job replied to the Lord, "I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." God is in control. God is in control now. God is in control with this virus situation, and he will bring us through it. Satan has been called the accuser of the brethren, and he is trying to accuse us even now before God. On one sense, he cannot accuse us because of what Jesus has done on our behalf, because of the righteousness that we have been granted by what Jesus did on the cross for us. But yet there's that question that we need to ask. Are we serving God because he is God? Or do we serve God because of the fact that we think he might bless us? We need to really examine where our treasures lie. Are we just seeking to pile up treasures here on earth and asking God's help in doing that? Or are our treasures in heaven? And whenever there's a crisis or a difficult situation that enters our lives, I think many times it serves to help us put these things in perspective and to prioritize the things that really are important. And now at a time like this, when we are in many ways separated from each other, it shows us how important it is to be involved in relationships that with people that care about us, that people that love us. Friendships are so important, and especially our relationship with God. Are we doing what we can to ensure that we're doing what is healthy for relationships, not only with God, but with each other? And during this time when we are somewhat mandated to be apart, we need to be creative in reaching out and in making sure that that we're still connected, that we maintain these friendships. Heman, Job, and countless others through history have experienced great times of uncertainty and trouble. And we're experiencing that now. And it may feel a little bit like gold in the midst of the refiner's fire. If that gold had feelings, I'm sure that it would not have enjoyed being in the fire. Yet coming out the other end, it was purified and more valuable than it was before that fire. So through times like this, we gain strength, we gain perseverance, we gain new perspective. It helps us to sort out the things in our lives that are important and not so important. And we gain through this faith, hope, and love. We gain through this a sense of greatness, that the potential that God has for us through these times, I think, is realized. Now, we get the idea from this psalm that Heman thought that his situation, that his darkness was going to last forever. But it did not. It was not a permanent situation. And this situation that we are in right now is not a permanent situation either. Heman, as one of the sons of Korah, we know that he went on later to write more psalms with his brothers that were songs of thanksgiving and songs of praise. So that even though he was in a time where he thought there was going to be no end to the trouble did end, and he came out on the other side better than when he went in. The psalm ends with the phrase, "Darkness is my closest friend." When Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus experienced the greatest darkness that anyone could ever experience. He was, for that time, on our behalf, abandoned by his Father. And he was in total darkness. He was alone. Jesus experienced that darkness as his only friend, so that in our darkness, we can know Jesus as our friend. So I encourage you folks to continue to pray, to continue to be involved in studying your Bible and in reading the Bible, and to continue to be connected through phone calls or emails or texts or letters or whatever, that we can get through this and that we can be stronger for it. And when we finally are able to join together again for fellowship, those greetings and hugs and so on will be just that much sweeter. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you that you have promised to always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. I pray, Lord, that you would just meet everyone's need during this time, that there may be no sense of loneliness or abandonment, but that somehow we could find a way, Lord, as your body of Christ, to continue to perform your work of faith, hope, and love here in our midst today. Lord, please lead us and guide us. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your love. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm always around, so give me a call. Talk to you later. Bye. To read the passage in the beginning.
I was wondering why you didn't read
it. Well, because I forgot.
Isn't it funny, like, if you need a theory of the sermon, you can just kind of work with it, you know, and go back, but you know, like, you're on the line or something like that.
Yeah, I can't believe the siren went off. And my keyboard was locked until
well,
it's...
you know, when I got this phone, too, I accidentally touched something, and all of a sudden... was it Rod or Jen were jumping up getting my phone today? It's like we need rescue squad or something.
And you weren't live when you said that spoon.
You
were real.
It was good though. It was, thank you.
Yes.
I'm sure God is really honored by that. Mm-hmm. How do you know if it went through or not? You might have to redo it.
Did you turn the recording off your other phone, Brent?